There was a young man of the Grey Seal clan, the most playful of the Selkie. He lived by a circle of skerries to the west of the Islands of the Folk, where the winds blow harsh and every year the ice creeps ever closer. His people were fierce and wild and razor-toothed, and he was the wildest of them all, diving from the tallest rocks, tumbling in the whitest surf, roaming further than any of his people dared venture. His mother was the matriarch of the clan, proud and powerful and strong, sheathed in muscle and robed in fat to keep her through the winters, and her son was just as handsome, with powerful shoulders, dappled flanks, and eyes as dark as the ocean. But the young man was willful. He loved to listen to tales of the folk, those people so like, yet so unlike, the Selkie. He loved to swim close to their shores and play in the surf of their beaches. He loved to follow their fishing boats and watch them take in their catches of fish. And he loved to hear their voices singing from the decks of their ships, voices that reached him on the wind in snippets and snatches of story. His mother said, "Beware the folk. Their race is bloodthirsty and cruel. They do not shed their skins, as we do, to walk upon the land, but hunt the grey seal and the walrus with spears and harpoons, and flay their skins and wear them against the winter cold, for they are thin, pale, shivering things, helpless as newborn chicks in the snow." But the young man of the Selkie did not heed her warnings, nor did he heed the words of his friends, the carefree companions of his childhood. He knew of the wars between the clans of the Selkie and that of the folk. He had even watched from afar as the whaling ships set out from the coast, hunting the regal lords of the sea. He had seen bloody battles fought among the outermost skerries, and he knew of the courage of the folk, and longed to know more of their customs. And so he swam out to the nearest of the neighbouring islands, and set out to learn everything he could about its mysterious inhabitants. He would swim close to their homesteads, and watch the light from their windows, and bask in the shallows by their shores, and listen to their women singing lullabies to their children. He would sit out alone on a rock by the harbour mouth, and watch the tall ships. And as he grew, so grew his desire for the land and its people, until one summer's night he swam right to the shore of an island, and, beaching himself on the cool, dark sand, he shed his bulky sealskin with its protective layer of fat, and stood naked on the shoreline, dark-skinned, sleek and glossy-haired, and handsome in the moonlight. "So this is how it feels," he thought, "to be a man of the folk." He looked down at his new skin with curious eyes, noting the graceful length of his limbs, the shape of his ribs and torso, the markings on his dark skin, so like those of a grey seal, and yet remade into something new, and the collarbones that stood out sharply beneath the column of his neck. In the form of a grey seal, he was strong and powerful, but as a man, he was reborn into something lithe and beautiful, and walking on the forbidden ground, with its gritty sand beneath his feet, he felt a surge of surprise and joy. The ocean's many voices now called to him in warning.
"Beware," cried a herring gull, riding the wind. "Betrayal," said the voice of the wave as it crashed against a rock.
"Come home,"
came the cry of the Grey Seal clan from the distant skerry, a cry that came from every man or woman of the Selkie clan, his playmates, his brothers, his sisters. But the Selkie did not listen to them.
"All I want to do is walk along the shore a while,"
he told himself, folding his sealskin carefully and hiding it under a standing rock.
"No one will see me here on the shore. The folk are all asleep in their beds.
And he was right.